Hi, well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you here. If you are a regular in the morning, I normally start with a joke and didn't think that the evening service was any different to start with a joke. And so I was chatting to a girl the other day and she was telling me that she had just started a new relationship. I said, oh, how's it going? She said, it's going really well. I said, how long have you been going out for? She said, about 2-3 months. He said, but it all went pear-shaped the other day and we broke up. I said, oh, no. I said, what happened? He said, well, it's going fine until we decided one afternoon, it was a beautiful day like today, and we decided we'd go down to Maroubra Beach and we were going to go for a walk along the beach. And it was all going well till we went down the sand and we took off our shoes, and as soon as he took off his shoes, that's it. I knew we had to break up right there and then. I said, end of the relationship. I said, why is that? She said, because didn't you know, I'm lactose intolerant. Some of you will get that a bit later. Lack toes. Oh, I should have said he only had 9 toes. And he was lactose. She was lactose intolerant. I should have said. So, thinking about that, let me ask you a question. Who are you? That's what I want to talk to you tonight about. Who are you? If I ask you who you are, I wonder what you say. So I just want to give you 30 seconds to tell the person next to you who you are. 30 seconds, go. Who are you? Alrighty, it's an interesting question, isn't it? If someone asks us who we are, I wonder how we'd answer that. And it's funny that as we grow older, and maybe even as we're younger, we often answer that by starting to tell people what we do rather than who we are. Which is quite interesting, why we speak that, why we have to tell people what we do when they're asking us who we are. And so I just wanted to think about that tonight, because identity is such a big thing in our world today. It's becoming more and more important. As a young person, you have to have a student card, and then when you're 16, you can get a license now, and when you're 17, you can you can get your L's at 16 and go for your license at 17. Most of our devices now either have fingerprint recognition or face recognition or other kinds of things to prove our identity and what that is. Some of them even have voice recognition. Identity is becoming such a massive thing in our culture. And it's becoming such a massive thing in our culture because identity theft is also becoming such a massive thing in our culture. So we're having to get, strategic, and we're having to get sophisticated in the ways that we prove our identity, because it's being ripped off all the time, or people are stealing our identity all the time. We have Facebook accounts or Instagram accounts that are stolen, or people's identity is stolen. Or we scammed, or we get fraud, or there's identity fraud as well. People steal your identity. I recently just sold a couple of things on Marketplace, and I was just got so annoyed by the number of people that messaged me saying, is this for sale? And I'd go and I'd check out their actual Facebook profile, and I go, there's no way that you, like, they would be someone else's profile. There's no way that you would want this sports device that I'm selling. Like, it was just fake. And I'd say to them, they'd say, is it still available? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd go, when can my sister come and pick it up? And I'd say, you can give me cash, and I'm not meeting your sister. You can come and pick it up. And then bit by bit, they just slowly just, and I'd go, look, just don't waste my time. You're not for real. They were just trying to steal something of mine that was not theirs. I believe that everyone has a deep yearning for 3 things. If you really think about it, I think everyone wants to know who you are. Or I want to know who I am. What am I on this planet for? What makes me tick? What's my reason for existence? And where do I belong? And where do I find acceptance on this planet? Who's my tribe that I should be hanging out with? And what's my significance? What the heck am I supposed to do on this planet that I've been given life for? What was I created to do? And those questions, I think, are the essence of identity. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says this. He says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, says Jesus, to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. And what he's talking about there, it's a bigger story, and you can read it in John chapter 10, but what he's talking about there is Satan, the devil, who wants to do three things. He wants to steal, he wants to slaughter or kill, and he wants to destroy. And he's intent about doing those three things to everyone on this planet. And the contrast is what Jesus said he came to give us. What does the enemy, what does Satan want to steal? I believe he wants to steal our identity. What does he want to slaughter or kill? I believe he wants to slaughter our dreams or our abilities or our confidence. And what I think he wants to destroy is this sense about our reason for living or our sense of purpose. If the enemy can get to us in one of those three areas, I think we're gone. And so it's really, really important that we think about this whole identity thing from a spiritual point of view. And so tonight I want to kind of use three chairs to just talk about that analogy of what I think the enemy is trying to get us to believe and the choice we have in then what Jesus wants us to believe in terms of what he's come to give us in everlasting life. So the first chair I have is this kind of idea that a lot of us think or believe this lie, that I am who everyone else says I am or thinks I should be. And if you're older in my age category, you probably want to add in there, I am what I do. And it's a lie because it's just a role. That's not actually who we are. Just going to school is just what we do, but that's not who we are. Going to university is just a study for a period of time, but that's not who I am. And so we live with this lie that I am who everyone else thinks I am. Well, people say that I'm handsome, so I must be handsome. Yeah, you do say that, don't you? No? Okay. No, sorry. People say that I'm ugly. Oh, I won't go there, but, or they say I'm fat, or I'm skinny, or I'm smart, or I'm sporty, or I'm rich, or I'm, you know, whatever it is. And we listen to that and go, well, that must be who I am, because that's what people say I am, or that's how people treat me, so I must be like that. Either way, positive or negative. You know, we listen to that. We involve ourselves in things like TikTok. And the whole thing about TikTok is just a whole thing about imitation. It's about imitation and comparison. And so we live this life about what will I look like, or what are other people think of me, or I should dress the same as them because they look cool, so I should imitate what the cool people look like, or I should think like that, or I should get involved in this, or I should make my Instagram post look like this, or take selfies like this, so that it's just all about what people think of me. And it's all about then comparison, likes and dislikes. What will get me the most likes in life? And I'm not just talking about social media, it's how we play a game. What will get me the most acceptance? Or how can I belong the most in this group or that group? We older people do it as well at work and other places we live. It's not just a young person's thing. And we live this life that I am who everyone else thinks I am or should be. And that's not how Jesus wants us to live. When we live like that, we live with imitation, comparison, likes and dislikes. And the thing that happens about our identity, it becomes very, very confused. Because what happens is we don't know who we are. Because we're trying to live everyone else's expectation of us. So that's my chair number one. The second chair is this. I have what I think I'm worth and or entitled to. That might sound a bit funny, but if I was to ask you what you think you're worth, that's another kind of question that I wonder what you'd say. Most of us, if we're really honest, probably wouldn't be able to answer that question very well. We'd struggle to say to someone, you know what, I'm worth a damn lot. I'm actually quite valuable. And that's a problem, because I'll talk later about that's how God thinks of us as very valuable. And yet when we don't think we have a lot of worth, then we don't think we have much. Because if we don't think we have a lot of worth, then we don't think we have much going for us. We kind of say things in and around this. If we don't think we have much, we don't dream much. And so we live in this place of lack. We live a life of that's lacking all the time. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money. I'm not rich enough. I don't have enough gifts and abilities. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough intelligence. I'm not smart enough. Or I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. And we live constantly with this lack, trying to chase something that's not there. And so we have what we think we're worth. And because that's what we think we have, we just keep perpetuating that cycle. And we create an environment around us that fits what we think we're worth. And we live there. Discontent, but we live there too afraid to move out of that. Some of us will even think we're a worthless sinner and that I don't have anything good for me. And remember, the enemy, Satan, wants to slaughter or kill our dreams, our abilities, and confidence. And then what happens is this thing about entitlement. Because then what happens is when we think we only have a small bit, we work really, really hard to protect it and fight others away so that we just keep what's ours and it's not yours, it's mine. And we become competitive and strive and fight everyone else for that. That's my space on the road. That's my parking spot. That's my desk. That's my seat. That's my this. And don't you tell me that it's not. And we become this entitled person that we live out of life from. And we just push everyone else away and we compete with people and fight with people. We may not do it fist fights or verbally, but we do it in the way we live our life and the competitiveness we have every day in life. We live this life of kind of entitlement. That's my space in the line. What do you move? Don't push in. Get out of there. That's my second chair. And my third chair is this. It's about what I can do. I can only do what fear gives me permission to do, or what others give me permission to do. That's a really important chair, because I think so many of us, particularly you younger generations, live with a lot of fear. And we live from this place of being afraid. One of the key things we're afraid of is what others will think of me. I can't dare do that because I'm afraid what others might think of me if I step out and do that. Or I'm afraid of what will happen if I try this and then I fail. What will others think of me? They'll think I'm stupid. And I'm afraid it's too big or overwhelming and maybe I haven't got what it takes to actually do what I think I should do. Or I'm afraid because I believed a lie, I can't do this or I can't do that. And then we play this game about where we're too afraid then to make a decision about something. So we say to our mum or dad, or we say to our wife or spouse or to someone else that we trust, well, what do you think? Should I do this or should I not? Is it okay to do that? Am I okay to do that? We look for their permission to do it before we step out and do it because we're afraid to make a decision about it because we're so afraid. And so we live this life. I can only do it if others give me permission to do it. Or if someone else will tell me, you can do it. You're brave. You're strong. You see, it doesn't have to be like this. This is the enemy talking. This is Satan talking. His key is to kill, is to slaughter, is to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. Jesus came that he gave us life and life to the full. Everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in all its fullness until you overflow. So then let me talk to you about three things that Jesus wants to give us. And remember, the essence of identity is knowing who you are, knowing where you belong and are accepted, and knowing your significance. And so I think the first thing that Jesus comes and says to us is, you know what? You are who I say you are. We are who God says we are. And the Bible is full of references to talk about who God says we are. Just one thing about that is in Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, King David is talking, you made all the delicate innermost parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. See, God is creator and he designed us. And so if he designed us and thought that we were wonderful and we were beautiful and he designed us and created us, surely then he should know us. Surely he should know the design that he has for us. So once we believe into Jesus, then Jesus says a whole bunch of things about who he says we are. And I can give you a printout of a whole lot of these different things if you want that later, because I'm not going to show you all these verses. So you're just going to have to trust me that all these statements are actually in the Bible, okay? But I can prove it to you later if you want that proof. Jesus says, you are a child of God once you believe into Jesus, John 1:12. Or you are someone that Jesus actually takes pleasure in. It says in Ephesians, it says that you are loved and chosen by God. And check this out. It actually says that once we believe into Jesus, we are holy and without fault in his eyes. It says that we are adopted into God's own family. We have a place of belonging and acceptance. It says that we have been forgiven and redeemed. It says we've been justified by faith. And it says that we are God's handiwork. I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg with some of those statements about who God says we are. And they're all statements about what God says we are. There are none of those statements about what God says we can do. They come later. That's just our status. That's that we're fully loved and fully accepted for who we are. And you see, others think of me, they'll believe those things. We understand then that we are worthy. We understand that we are accepted, that we are fully loved, that we have a reason for living, that we have a purpose, we have a design. And it's so it goes on. And then we start to live out of that. So that's who God says we are. And then the second chair is about what we have. And I believe it. God says you have what God says you have. And again, God says all these different things in Scripture about what he's given to us. Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says, we've been given a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Each one of us as believers have been given a spirit of power, of love, and then a sound mind. I find that really interesting that the first part of that verse is power. And the first part of that verse is that we have not been given a spirit of timidity or fear. But we've been given a spirit of power to overcome that, and then of love, and then a sound mind, so we can actually think about how to put that all together and live out of that place of power, love, and sound mind. So when I find myself stressful, when I find Satan coming and attacking who I am, and I'm feeling worthless and like I should go and open a can of worms and eat them, I remind myself that I've been given a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Sometimes I have to walk around the house just quietly, just reminding myself and speaking that verse out for 5-10 minutes till I just feel a shift in the atmosphere change and I feel at peace about actually what I have and then who I am again. I have to actually take God's word at what he says and put it into practice. But it also says I have God's presence, that he is always with me in Matthew. It says I have direct access to God's presence in Hebrews. It says I have God's love and nothing can separate me from his love. That's an awesome verse there. It says that I have full connection to God, that there's nothing on this planet that can stop God loving me or you. Nothing at all. And Paul lists a whole bunch of things in Romans from that passage about death or persecution or earthquakes or tornadoes or friends at school who just are mean to us or teachers who give us bad grades or failing uni or failing school or whatever it is. There's nothing that stops God loving us, which means that God thinks we're worthy of his love all the time. That's what we have. We have victory, it says in Romans 8. Victory over sin. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, which guarantees everything that Jesus has promised us in 2 Corinthians. We've been given everything we need for living a godly life. And we've been given great and precious promises from God. We have so much that we've been given as believers in Jesus. We just have to discover that and then take hold of that and step into that. And the third The third chair, and what I think Jesus says to us, is that you can do what God says you can do. You can do what God says you can do. And that's an awful lot. Paul says in Philippians that I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. I do all things not in my strength, the kind of lie that's going around these days that you can do anything you want, you just make it happen. That's actually a lie. It doesn't work that way. I can't play for Australia if I wanted to play for Australia. I'd do a lot of work and maybe I got a lucky break and maybe my body could hang out and maybe I could get there. But that's not going to happen for everyone. And for everyone to believe that, that's not actually going to be a reality. That's part of that woke culture that's being portrayed to us about you just believe in yourself. Can you do it all? But I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. That's when I align with God's plan for me. That still doesn't mean that I just have a, you know, wishful dream and just jump into it. What it means is that I ask Jesus what he wants me to do. And then when he tells me what he wants me to do, I can do that with his strength that he gives me and step into that. In John 14, it says that I can do the same things that Jesus did and even greater things. That's a really humbling verse. Because then I just start to think about what are all the things that Jesus did? He healed people. He delivered people. He did miracles amongst people. He turned water into wine at a wedding. I'd love to be able to do that. He walked on water. I've tried that several times. I haven't mastered it yet. But Jesus did it when he was with Peter. And that verse says we should be able to do the same things that Jesus did and even greater things, because now we have the resurrected Christ and the Holy Spirit living within us. And so I kind of think, well, what are some things that Jesus didn't do that we could do? Is there any evidence in the Bible? And there are some things where Peter walked down the road and his shadow just went over people as he walked down the road and they were instantly healed. Or there was actually a time in Scripture where someone got out a handkerchief and they bless someone with it and they're actually healed. It's in Scripture. It's in there. And Jesus didn't do any of those things. Not that I can record in the Gospels. So there are evidence of some things. So there are things that we are yet to do that Jesus didn't do because Jesus now lives in us on this planet. But we have to believe that we can do what God says we can do. Because if God wants us to do it, he will lead us to do it. We've been created to do good things. We've been appointed to live a fruitful life. We can defeat this evil world and achieve victory through faith in Jesus, it says in 1 John. So much that we can do. So then let me ask you again, who are you? Which chair are you sitting in, or which chairs are you sitting in? Are you sitting with everyone in, you know, I am who everyone else thinks I am or should be, and I have what I have because that's what I'm worth and I'm entitled to, and I can only do what fear or others give me permission to? Or are you choosing to sit in the other chairs with Jesus? And with Jesus, I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. The choice of where we sit is ours. And that choice determines a large amount of our identity, because we choose which identity we want to live under, a false identity or a real identity in Jesus. Remember, John 10:10 says, a thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in all its fullness until you overflow. So who you are will depend on where you sit and then what you believe. I want to finish tonight with a little application, and just I brought along a few of my favorite stones tonight, and so we're all going to get stoned. Yeah. Yeah, some would be excited about that. There's a verse in Revelation. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It talks about Jesus coming again. And in Revelation 2:17, it talks about, it's talking about the newness of life and the newness that comes with Jesus. And it's talking about, there's a verse in there that says, I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. So I want to pray for us in a minute, and then I want to just invite you to take a stone. You choose any stone you want, but every stone has a word written on the bottom of it. So I'm just trusting that whatever stone you pick up, the Holy Spirit's already drawn you to that stone for whatever reason. And I just want to encourage you, prophecy is about something that encourages, strengthens, and builds us up. Our identity is so important. So I just encourage you to take a stone and sit with the word that's under it and allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to speak into that word, into your life today, over the coming week, over the coming whatever. The other side of the stone is blank. And as you wait on the Holy Spirit and as you ask the Holy Spirit or ask Jesus, who am I? If you're not sure, maybe he'll give you another word that you can write on the other side as well. Because it's good to know who you are. I know that I've done this exercise before or this little thing before, and I know that my word is I'm a faithful, mighty warrior. They're my words. And I know they've been given to me time and time again by Jesus. And I have to keep reminding myself about what those words mean and why I've been given those words and stand in that and live my life out of that, because that's how God sees me. And that's the identity that God has given to me through Jesus. And he's given you an identity as well. And he's given you a name as well to live out of. So you know who you are, you know what you have, and you know what you're called to be significant on this planet for.